Now please, the first book of Samuel, chapter 18. First book of Samuel, chapter 18. Came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking with Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him know, go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow, and to his girdle. Chapter 20. And verse 35. Came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and the little lad with him. He said to his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad, and said, is it not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered the arrows, and came to his master. The lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad, and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another, and wept one with another, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and strengthened his hand in God. He said to him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Now in the second book of Samuel. Chapter 19. And verse 31. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim, went over Jordan with the king, to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. He had provided the king with sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he is a very great man. The king said to Barzillai, come now up with me, now feed you with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king into Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil? Can I serve and taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. Why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city. Be very, very grave of my father and of my mother, and before thy servant Chimham. To him go with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good. And to the final book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and make more also, if all for death part thee in me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Verse 22, so know my return, and Ruth the Moabite to daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of God, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Verse 23. And so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of the barley harvest, and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. One of the first questions in the Bible is the question God asks Adam, Where art thou? Where art thou, Adam? And it's a question I'm seeking to challenge your heart, to challenge my own heart. Where are we in relation to the precious truth we've heard of the last few days? Where are we in relation to the ministry we've heard throughout our lives? Where are we? And in these three people, we have three responses. Three responses. We take them one at a time. Jonathan. What a beautiful picture we have in Jonathan. Let me read it to make sure I don't make too many mistakes. How Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. He had a love for David. And the first challenge tonight is how you will love for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a gospel meeting, but let us challenge our hearts. Is there anyone here tonight who knows not Jesus as Savior, knows not Jesus as Lord? Now is the time to accept him this very night. But don't we find David and Solomon and Jonathan? Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. He had a love for David. Why? Read the 17th chapter. We find there in the valley of Elah, we find mighty Goliath slain by David. And because of this, the song goes forth. David hath slain his tens of thousands, but Saul his thousands. Jonathan loved David because David had slain that mighty giant Goliath. He loved him because of what he had done for him. And how happy we can say tonight, we love Jesus for what he has done for us. We can take up the language of Paul the Apostle. We can say the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. What a relief. What a preciousness to be able to say that. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And so much so, he strips himself of his robe. He gives it to David, and his garments, even his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Is it striking though, later on in David's history, when he's in need, he doesn't take the sword of Jonathan. Oh no, when he's in need, he takes the sword of Goliath, because there's no sword like that one. No, David remembered the great deliverance that God gave him that day. David remembered. And so we find Jonathan stripping himself of all these things. But a time of testing came. And what do we find? Jonathan going back to his house. Jonathan going back to the city. The time of testing came. And Jonathan went back. Jonathan went back. Challenge your hearts, my friend, tonight, as I challenge my heart tonight. How often have we come back? The hymn writer could pen those marvelous words. Where is the blessedness that once I knew when first I saw the Lord? Jonathan went back. The next reference we have of Jonathan, I'm not doing the whole story. We haven't time, I'm not able to do it. But Jonathan, the next reference we find of Jonathan is dead. There on the plain, the mountains of Gilboa, dead. He had been slain because he was not in living association with David. And tonight, my friend, if we're not in a living association with Christ, alas to say, we may be slain in that sense. Jonathan was found slain in the mountains of the plain of Gilboa. Who was with Jonathan? Slain at that time. We find King Saul, the Lord's anointed. King Saul was slain. And why? He was slain by an Amalekite. Remember the history when we find of Saul. There came a day in Saul's history. God told him through Samuel, you have to slay the Amalekite, the good and the abuse, the good and the bad. All had to be slain. And what happened that day? Saul kept the king alive. He kept the best for God, he said. So Samuel had to come along and said, what does this mean? What does the bleating of these sheep mean? What does it mean? And there came those beautiful words. To obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the fat of rabbits. Obedience. Sadly, Saul went off the sea. Sadly, Jonathan went off the sea. And Jonathan went back. I remind you of a story of a lady in India. There she had twins. And this missionary saw her walking down to the riverside. And he knew what the ages of superstition meant. She was going to throw one of her twins into the river. And examining the twins, he saw one was maimed and marred, and the other one was such a perfect little boy. A few hours later, he saw a broken-hearted mother coming back, holding the hand of the maimed one. And this missionary said to her, Why throw away the one that is good, the one that is perfect? And she says, I don't know what type of a God you have in America, but my God demands the best. Indeed, our God, our Father, demands the best for us. And so we find Jonathan, all his love, all that he gave David, the one vital thing was missing. That was himself. He didn't want his gifts. David wanted him. He wanted his person. He wanted him to be with him. And Lord, you know, he doesn't only want our service. He doesn't only want our material things. He doesn't want our time only. He wants us. He wants you. He wants me. He wants our blessed company. That touches my heart to think the Son of God wants me. He wants you. Because one day soon, he's going to have us all the time. Why can't he have us live a bit more of the time here? And so we come to Barzillai. We find here the expression, he goes over Jordan a little way. A little way. That's where we come in, mainly. A little of these things is good enough for us. Just a little. Not a lot. Just a little. Let us read this in case I miss one or two things. Barzillai, we find him to be a very aged man. And get my meaning right, please. Christianity makes no provision for old men. Christianity makes no provision for old men, but thank God for the fathers. Thank God for those who are sought by life by action, by teaching, to correct, to lead, to guide. We who are younger, thank God for those who are fathers. Here we have a very aged man, 4 score years old, a very sad position in that sense. He had no discernment. He couldn't discern between good and evil. He couldn't even hear the difference between a man singing and a woman singing. He lacked discernment. He lacked discernment. When assembly matters arise, do we sadly lack discernment? We don't know what to do. Sadly, it is our own sad condition. We don't know what to do. And David wanted this man, for all the goodness he'd shown to David during his life, to come with him over Jordan, over Jordan, to be with him in Jerusalem. Are we prepared to be over Jordan? In one sense we are. Are we prepared to be in the enjoyment of these things? Are we prepared? This is a challenge to my own heart. Am I prepared? Mr. Brawley mentioned on Saturday night, counting the cost, building the tower, counting the cost. And sadly, we have to confess, as we view the cost, we often, and all invariably we do, we shun from going ahead. We shun going over Jordan in the company of David. Go, when we come to Ruth, we find a person going all the way. Oh, Ruth went all the way. Not Jonathan going back. Not Barzillai going a little of the way. But Ruth went all the way. Are we going all the way? Are we prepared to go all the way? Am I prepared to go all the way? I leave this challenge with you as a challenge of my own heart. Ruth clave unto Naomi. Read on the New Testament that they, with purpose of heart, they clave unto the Lord. Are we prepared? Am I prepared to cleave with purpose of heart to the Lord? There's nothing else. We know there's nothing else. But oh, how often we found in the dregs of this world, cleaving to something, which when we compare it with the blessed Lord, is nothing at all. How sad we are. She said, "Behold, our sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods." So, Ruth, entreat me not to leave thee. Be truly, turn to God from idols. She left the idolatry of Moab. She clave to Naomi. She went on and on. So, she turned to God from idols. She had a new company. She no longer wanted to have a company with the people she stayed with in her land. She wanted a company of Naomi. She wanted a company of the people of that land. A challenge to my heart. A challenge to those who are younger here tonight. When we leave work, whose company do we seek? Do we seek the company of the saints of God? Or do we have worldly companions? They were sadly, lead you astray and lead me astray. Naomi, Ruth wanted a company of Naomi. Doubtless she had seen something in Naomi, a soul under exercise, a soul under discipline. She had seen in her, doubtless, the working of God. And something in that life attracted her. Challenge your heart. Challenge my heart. Is there something in my life? Is there something in your life that attracts those around us to want to know about it? I have heard it said, and I completely agree with it. Our witness here is not a telling witness unless it demands a supernatural explanation. See that man in John chapter 5, for 38 years, laying flat on his back by that pool. 38 years. See him one day, walk down that road, his bed upon his back, carrying it, happy, joyful. That needed a supernatural explanation. And what delight he could say, Jesus did. Jesus did. And so if I am Ruth, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. She's prepared to go all the way. All the way. Am I prepared to go all the way? Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. We were reminded we have no continuing city. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. We have a new people, a new company, And I thought when Peter was set free, Peter went to his own company. That's very nice, very good indeed. We have a new company. We've been brought out of darkness into light. And Ruth finds it so quickly. She wants a new company, a new people. But there we come to the real point. And thy God, my God. Not for her the idols of Moab. Not for her this. She wanted the true Jehovah. And I read this, but they two went. They two went. They went together. Isn't it great? Now people, in company with yourself, and you to company with other people, together in the Lord's interest, together in the Lord's things. Where thou diest, will I die. And she goes a step, even further still, and there will I be buried. Not only if you know the truth in that sense of the Romans of being dead, but she's quite prepared to go completely and utterly out of sight. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. More also, if all but death part thee. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded, she left speaking unto her. I trust there's already meetings this week. Both me and our eyes are far more steadfastly looking up to heaven. Our hearts are more steadfastly minded to go on with the Lord's things. And so she arrived. She arrives at Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. We find out the last verse I read, the end of the wheat harvest. I'm no farmer, but I believe the barley harvest is the first harvest. The wheat harvest is the last harvest. So she has continuing blessing from the beginning to end. And now we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. These things are ours if we enjoy them, if we go for them. Still ours, if they're not. Still are waiting for us. But when they come, we find she goes gleaning. We find that Nehemiah had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth. She's prepared to go on, and on, and on. And she comes in contact with a mighty man of wealth. Isn't it great to be able to proclaim this mighty man of wealth? We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty man of wealth. Now we link with him. Yes, we are in one sense, but are we experimentally, day by day, linked with this person? Sadly, I have to confess how very rarely we know what it is to have the presence of the Lord. Yes, we may read his precious word, we may pray, but do we really know what the presence of the Lord means? We have to challenge our hearts, challenge my heart. Do I really know what it means to get into that innermost place with the Lord himself? Or she came in contact. She came in contact with that mighty man of wealth. You can't stop this story, Ruth, there, can we? We find this mighty man of wealth became her husband. And from that glorious union came forth David. And from the line of Judah came forth the Lord Jesus himself. What a great line of blessing. A great line of fruitfulness. Lord, tonight, as I thought, I seek to challenge your heart and challenge my heart. Very simply, where are you? Where am I? Are we going backwards? Are we going only a little way? Or are we like Ruth, going all the way and being linked preciously and in blessing with the person of God? Are we linked in day-to-day communion? Yes, we know the scriptures. And sadly, how often that scripture has come to my heart in recent weeks. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. I heard a tape from a brother down here, and he mentioned this, and I thought it was a very good remark to make. How often we quote it in one sense, just the growing in the knowledge of the truth. It's the growing in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. It's a vital thing, isn't it? These things must go side by side together. There's no good knowing these things if we're not acting them, if it's not shining forth from our lives, something that we have read, and something that we've been taught. And so we find out that Ruth went all the way. And that is a challenge to live with your heart, a challenge to live with my heart. Are we prepared to count the cost? Are we prepared to go all the way?